Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special and the message of that song especially. Praise the Lord for it. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would, look with me to the book of Acts in chapter 22. Acts chapter 22. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 10. The book of Acts chapter 22. And then if you're able, if you would, go ahead and stand with me as I read the Word of God. You read right along with me. Acts chapter 22, beginning in verse 1. Men and brethren, fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you. When they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he saith, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that, as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, again, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being in church today and that all there were given the opportunity and took advantage of it to assemble here this morning. And Lord, as we have read this passage of Scripture, I know that you have a message for us through this. And so I pray again, God, that you would just help each one to have an open heart and mind. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message from your word to your people. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Of course, we're talking about the conversion of the Apostle Paul here. And we find in verse 10, the Bible says, and Jesus was speaking to Paul, and he says, Arise and go into Damascus, and there shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. There's no doubt that God had plans for an apostle, Paul. Paul would end up writing 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. Paul would be one of the very first missionaries, the missionaries to the Gentiles. And thank the Lord that Paul went to the Gentiles, because that's you and I. And so much could be said about what the Apostle Paul was able to accomplish. But we find here that the Bible says that God had plans for the Apostle Paul. It was not necessarily God's plan for how Saul had been living his life. It was not necessarily God's plan for Saul to persecute the church. as he did. It was not God's plan and purpose for Saul to imprison born-again believers, separate families, put them in jail, even have some of them brutally murdered. That's what Saul had been doing. It wasn't God's plan for Saul to do that, but we do find that God had plans for an apostle, Paul. See, the church, first century church, needed to have Saul converted so that he could become the apostle, Paul. Did you understand that? Saul was persecuting the church. The church needed to have Saul converted to get saved and eventually be called the apostle Paul, because God had plans for the apostle Paul. Now, some in the church might have been asking God to get rid of Saul. But can I tell you, God is not the believer's hitman. Can I also tell you that I've been tempted to do the very same thing. Certain politicians and positions who have been against the church, against the teachings of Christ, against living as God would have us to live, been tempted to say, God, won't you just remove them? But where would that stop? If God were our hitman, where would that stop? When somebody pulls in front of you, is going too slow, God, would you remove them off the road for me? When somebody says something negative to you at your employment, and maybe even passes on giving you a raise or position that you feel like that you deserve, but possibly because of your testimony for Christ, that you haven't been given that, and you get upset and you think, God, would you just remove that foreman or remove that person so that I can prosper in this position and this job that I have? Where would it stop? That's why we have the Word of God. So that when we get off in our thinking, we can be brought back to reality of God's will and God's purpose and God's plan for our lives. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus preaching and teaching on the Beatitudes, and he's presenting New Testament Christianity and on the Sermon on the Mount. And what a tremendous blessing we went through and was part of our Sunday night series on presenting the teachings of Christ. We went through and we taught on the Sermon on the Mount, and so much there for New Testament Christianity. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, Jesus here in teaching says, "Ye have heard," Pharisees would have taught this, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now I'm thinking, those are the ones that I would want to be eliminated. And yet that's my thinking, but that's not God's thinking. Verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father. Which is New Testament Christianity. Which is Christ-likeness. You live this way, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, which is easy to do, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? Sometimes we have to reel in our thinking. And we have to look to the Word of God to have right thinking. Romans 12, 20 says, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. Can I tell you this morning that there's no way the lost will live by these principles? There's no way the lost, and there's no way that if I would go by my human instincts, my human nature, that I would do what the Bible says that I should do. That's why it's important for us to understand that God has preserved His Word for us, that we might understand the very mind and the thoughts of God. And as we read the Bible, we need to replace our thinking with biblical thinking. Because God has a purpose for Christianity. He has a purpose for every born-again believer. He has things designed for us to accomplish during our time on this earth. As he had plans for the Apostle Paul. Didn't have any plans for Saul. But when Saul got converted, God has plans for his life. Today, we're challenged with a whole lot of things in 2021. Believers need to fully understand this passage of Scripture so that we can experience more Sauls becoming Pauls. Maybe starting with us. Is there a Saul-like thinking in our heads, in our hearts, that needs to be converted to a godly mentality of a Paul? Now, as we look to these two names, I want you to understand, and I'm fully aware as you study the Bible, that Saul was his Hebrew birth name. He was born Saul, a Hebrew name. And Saul associated him with Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee. Paul would become his Gentile name. And Paul would be associated with the Apostle Paul, a born-again believer, a Christian. Every one of Saul's letters to the churches, he presented himself not as Saul, but he presented his name as Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ. He understood his past. He understood his mentality. He understood what he had blindedly led to do as Saul. And he presents this testimony several times in the book of Acts. God's plan for Paul is what we're looking at here today. Because the sooner Saul would be converted, the better it would be for the church. Is there a Saul in your life that if he were or she were converted, it would be better for you as well as the cause of Christ? But do we have a mentality of a hitman and asking God just to get rid of him? When God might have you there to present the gospel so that they could become a Paul in whom God would have much for him or them to do. Yeah, I love that. Paul's life before conversion. I think a lot of those people that we would love in our own flesh to see God just get rid of, eliminate, have the very same upbringing and the very same things that Saul had. Paul's life before conversion as Saul, found here in Acts chapter 22, look there with me, Acts chapter 22. The Bible records much about this because God wants us to see that God had no design for Saul's life. And Saul, because he did not have God in his life, was persecuting the church, hindering the cause of Christ, doing all these evils. But as soon as he would get saved, God had much for Saul to accomplish, for Paul to accomplish. So the Bible says here in Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, I am verily a man which am a Jew. He was born as a Jew. If you study as he would present his background, we find that Paul was a full-blooded Hebrew linked back to Abraham. Now, in that would have appealed to the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees were racist. And they only wanted those who were full-blooded Hebrews to be able to have any positions, to be able to do whatever they wanted them to do. So he was born a Jew, full-blooded Hebrew. Because of this, the Old Testament law would appeal to Saul. Because he's seen himself as connected to Abraham. And we're privileged as far as being God's children to represent God to the world. So this religious sect of the Pharisees would wanted to bring Saul in, and Saul would be somewhat leaning toward them because of his connection to Old Testament law and to Abraham. He was born in Tarsus. The Bible says here, a Jew born in Tarsus. Now that's important The more you understand the Bible, God has a purpose for every word that he has preserved. And we are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so he says, I want you to understand this background. And he was not only a full-blooded Jew, but he was also born in Tarsus. Which if you would do a historic background check and all what took place there, he would have been privileged because he was born in Tarsus. Tarsus would have had the best secular education. Rome had poured much money into building up Tarsus. It was a key city. It was a key industrial area. It was a place where Rome had built up. Matter of fact, not only did they have the best education available in Tarsus, but they also, Rome had given all those who had been born in Tarsus Roman citizenship. So Paul here, just because he was born in Tarsus, was given Roman citizenship, even though he was a full-blooded Hebrew. So he would eventually, God would use that, and he had dual citizenships, if you will. He was blessed as a full-blooded Hebrew, as a Jew, but then he also had this connection to Rome because he was born in a city that the Roman Empire would give all those born in Tarsus Roman citizenship. So he was a privileged individual where he had the best secular education. He was a very smart man, a very educated man. Yeah. Then the Bible says something else about him. That he was yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel. He was taught religion under Gamaliel. If you look back in Acts chapter 5 and verse 34, it speaks of Gamaliel, and it says that Gamaliel was a Pharisee named Gamaliel who was a member of the Sanhedrin Council. That voted to put Christ to death. That's who taught Saul what to believe when it came to religion, when it came to understand who God was. The Pharisee religion was birthed during the silent years. The silent years, the dark ages, was between the Old Testament and the coming of Jesus Christ, some 400 years. So after the last of the writing and the prophets of the Old Testament, up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were several sects, religious sects, that had developed, the Pharisees being one of them. Jesus had much to say about this religion. Matthew chapter 15. Everybody following this morning? I'm laying a lot of foundation here and things, but it's important that we understand this because it's impossible for those who have no understanding of who Jesus Christ truly is to make right decisions for themselves, for their nationality, their families, for the world. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1. Then came Jesus to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, two of the most prominent religious sects that developed during that time, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death,' putting a premium on honoring your mom and dad, honoring your parents. But ye say, 'Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. I'm my own individual, and if you're gaining from me, then it's a gift, and I can choose what I want to do, and I can choose to live separate from you and make my own decisions in life and dishonor mom and dad. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free.'" So instead of taking the word of God and understanding the judgment of God, you're saying that, well, he just let him go free. "Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites." There's a lot of hypocritical thinking and decisions being made today by those in positions that ought to know better. "Well did Isaiah the prophet say, 'This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain, emptiness, they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.'" Not the commandments of God. Now understand this, but the commandments of men. "And he called the multitude and said unto them, 'Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man.' Then came his disciples and said unto him, 'Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard these sayings?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.'" A lot of people falling in ditches today. "They ignored the God of the law and used it to establish their own." And brought in the Jews, because they believed that they were teaching the law of God. But what they were presenting is the philosophies of man and using God to draw them in. Wow. This is what Saul had been programmed to believe. Secular and religious education that did not include biblical truth about Jesus Christ. You understand that's what's going on today? Secular education does not want to give Jesus Christ and the Bible any credit for anything. Matter of fact, they want to teach just the opposite. still somehow having a Jerick understanding or a belief in a God, but teaching evolution and teaching all the things that relate to human philosophy and the traditions of men and not the words of God. And so not only is secular education putting this into the hearts and the minds of individuals today in which we are living in, then we have religion that wants to use the concept of God, but they use the concept of God to bring people in, even the concept of heaven and the concept of the blessings of God to reel them in when they're actually teaching their own philosophies. That which would benefit their denomination, that which would benefit their religion. But they do not give an accurate understanding of who Jesus is. People cannot have right thinking concerning society, morality, or even religion if they don't know who Jesus is. And there's a lot of Sauls who have been raised to think this way. Who need to be converted to be an apostle or a representative of Christ, Paul. God had a plan for Paul, but he first would need to be converted. What we find here, now this is all the background the Bible tells us about Saul. But Saul was finally presented with biblical proof about who Jesus Christ is. Verse 6. It came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? Now, understand, he still didn't know that this was Jesus, but he knew this was God speaking to him. He knew that only God could shine this kind of light to bring fear into everybody around them. And they all stopped dead in their tracks because they knew this was something from God. This was something from heaven that got his attention. And we find that he says, Lord, and understanding that he knew this to be God, whoever this was, who stopped them dead in their tracks, this was God. They called him Lord, Lord God. And he said unto me, I am Jesus. Can you think back when God revealed himself to you and said, I'm Jesus. You need to call upon me to be saved. I paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross. I shed my precious blood to wash you of your sins. And at that moment, you realize this was reality, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of humanity, and he died for me, and I want that salvation that he so freely offers. You might have believed in God, but now you understand that Jesus is the Savior. He is God, the only begotten, one of a kind, Son of God. And now you have an opportunity to be saved. He was finally presented with biblical proof about who Jesus was. So many need to be helped to hear from Jesus today. Now, we know that God had a special opportunity for Saul, but it's the same thing that he has for all of us, in that there has to be a point in time in your life that you realize that you're lost and somebody reveals Jesus to you. Look at Romans with me. Look over the book, and I'm not going to be much longer. Almost done here, but Romans in chapter 10. I want you to see this. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. He's going back to how he was raised as a Jew, how he was raised underneath the teaching of Gamaliel, and after he heard, he took it in, he believed it to be truth, but it was not true. The doctrines of the Pharisees was not true. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's where Saul come to that place in his life, where he actually had Jesus introduce himself to Saul, and he realized that what he had been taught all along was wrong, that Jesus truly was and is God, and he's the only Savior of the world, and he looked to him as his own personal Lord and Savior. Once Jesus presented himself where Saul had an opportunity to know the truth about who Jesus was, he received him as his own personal Savior. No matter what you have been raised to believe, no matter what kind of blinders you have on, Jesus is He's the only plan that God has for salvation. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Saul's life changed from that day forward. Back in Acts, our text, and I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. In verse 10 it says, And I said, What shall I do, Lord? Now that time he is acknowledging Jesus as his Lord. He had received him as his Lord, and he's asking from this day forward, I want to do whatever you want me to do. And his life would change. Saul acknowledged Jesus as his Lord. He now would understand who God was, why Jesus came, and what life on this earth is all about. If you have those three things, your life will change. you know who God is and why Jesus came, and knowing that God has a purpose for your life as a Paul or as a saved individual, your life will change. 2 Corinthians, and we're done. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul would write, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and he would say this: "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." Writing to the believers that truly received Jesus Christ, he says, you have a ministry. Your life is a ministry. You have things that God has appointed for you to accomplish. Verse 3, he says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." There's a lot of Sauls out there that are lost. "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake," which is a different life than Saul's will live. Verse 13, "We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you." You live with that. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God." We're living as to glorify God. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," we go through persecution, we go through afflictions, it's not eternal, "it's for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." Don't live your life focused on the temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And when you know that Jesus was God, manifest in the flesh, paid a sin debt for us so that we could be saved, lived a life to show us how to live our life, the mindset, how we ought to think, and how we ought to live to present Jesus to the world. And then looking forward to knowing that today he's ever living to make intercession for us. And any time, at any time, he's going to call us all home to glory. He's going to rapture the church. And we will forever be with him. When you understand that, you're more apt to live the life that God has for us to live, and do some of the things that really go opposite our nature. How can I forgive the unforgivable, love the unlovable, and when my enemy hunger, feed him, and when he thirsts, give him drink? How can I live that way? Because I'm focused on Jesus and the mind, the thoughts that he had. Today, no matter who they are or how they have been programmed to think, they can be saved. For the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There might be Saul of Tarsus mentality even in this place here today. God wants you to confess that. He wants you to look to Him and become the Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ. That person that you might have been wanting just to have God get rid of, that might just be the one that God has you there to witness to see them become Pauls who can impact your life for good instead of evil. What am I saying? I'm saying that we need to have the mind of Christ, and we need to seek and to save that which is lost and live a life that presents the thinking of Jesus instead of the thinking of religion or secular philosophies. We need to see more Sauls become Pauls in our life. If I could have every head bowed this morning. I trust that we were able to get a hold of that for ourselves and our own thinking. Sometimes what we're instructed to do will go opposite nature, natural thinking. And yet that's what we need to do to be seen as the children of God who have something that this lost and dying world have need of. Father, we bow before you. And we thank you, Lord God, for the testimony of the Apostle Paul. And Lord, how we have looked back to see how he was programmed to be able to do the things that he did. But what a blessing. You had a plan and a purpose for him as he became Paul, the apostle. I pray that we would see more and more people be converted to Jesus Christ. That we would dedicate ourselves to be that witness that you'd have us to be. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.